Well, we're going to continue with our exciting look at the church constitution. I kind of don't want to do it any more than you want to listen, but I did feel it would be good to look at the heart of it. It does tell us how we should run our church. Not should, it just gives us the outline of how to live as a church. And I think we ought to. Now, I used to have new members classes. I used to go into it more. We haven't done it for years. Now, if you recall, we looked at how to become a member, and then we looked at church discipline. And tonight, I want to look at officers, the officers. But let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how clear it is for our lives, how to live our lives, for our church, how to run our church. We thank you that as we've attempted to do that through these decades, that you've blessed because of it. And I pray that you'll help us, remind us of how our church functions, especially for our new members, new people, that they'd better understand why we do certain things. Thank you for your word and how clear it is for our lives, how to live our lives, for our church, how to run our church. We thank you that as we've attempted to do that through these decades, that you've blessed because of it. And I pray that you'll help us, remind us of how our church functions, especially for our new members, new people, that they'd better understand why we do certain things. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read some of it, then we'll comment. In the first article, again, Article 7 is officers. A says the two biblical offices of the church is the pastor and the deacon. And I want to stress that's the only offices in our church. Now, some churches have trustees, and I'm not saying they're in deep sin for having trustees, but I don't see trustees in the Bible. You might say, well, with incorporation to sign papers for the bank, have trustees. I want you to understand I'm not double talking, but every one of our deacons are trustees. So if there's something that needs to be signed at the bank, then either a staff member or a trustee can do that. And I want to stress something else. There's nothing we do that you don't know about, nothing of any importance. There's nothing done behind the scenes as we meet as the pastor and deacons and many times the staff is added to it, the preaching staff. All we're trying to do is streamline things. In other words, we'll talk tonight about calling the pastor. Well, you talk about it. You beat your brains out. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time talking and dealing with this idea of who our next pastor should be. All these buildings, if we met as a congregation and talked about everything that has to do with the buildings that we do with deacons, you'd be sick and tired of it. And so we just streamline things. Then we come before you and we say, well, we want to spend $15 million. All for it, all opposed. And visitors say, what? Yeah, that's the way. And we'll be reading them out of the Bible. We'll be giving the practical set of standards that we have. It's amazing to me as I go out and preach how many times it comes out that deacons aren't in church in the midweek service. Well, if a deacon, now I'm not saying that a deacon can't get sick in this church, and I'm not saying that a deacon sometime doesn't have to travel for business or something like that. But if a deacon just doesn't come to church, he's no longer a deacon. Many a time I'll come up to somebody and say, you know, you shouldn't be a deacon. Yeah, goodbye. Okay, are they my enemy? No. But we want to practice what we preach. And if we don't, then everything crumbles. So, you know, again, whether it's attendance, faithfulness, whether it's standards, again, it amazes me, the deacons in churches that don't have the standards that are preached. Isn't that foolishness? You know, deacons are supposed to be leaders, and they lead by example. Perfect? No, but they lead by example. Soul winning? And we'll get into that later. But the only other officers that are voted out of the deacons is secretary and treasurer. And they are deacons. Once a year, we vote and say, you know, you carry a nice purse, you'll be our secretary, etc. Feel free to raise your hand if you have a question. Then B, any deacon, if reelected, may succeed himself for a maximum of 2 successive terms. The deacon shall be elected for a 2-year term whose election shall be staggered. So you're voted on. Deacons, when we vote for them, it's for 2 years. They can get reelected for 2 more years. So the longest a deacon will stay a deacon in our church is 4 years, and they must go off for a year. And then they can come back on if they're voted back on. And it's staggered, of course, so that, you know, it's not a year when there's no deacons. Now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Titus. C is the calling of the pastor. And that is the most vulnerable time of the church's history. Now, what I find is that churches that are blessed with growth and strength normally are pastored by somebody over decades. But then what I have also seen, and of course I've watched this, I think I've said this recently, that I was the young man on the block. The churches where they're growing all over the nation, strong churches, they were all 10, 15 years older than I am. So I watched what happened to those churches, and almost every single one of them have become neo-evangelical. And the way they became neo-evangelical is at the change of the watch, when the pastor stepped aside and a young man was brought in, the church became neo-evangelical. And if you recall, we had kind of a little dust-up about that even here. Young people think we're going to change, that when a new pastor comes in, that's time for change. We're going to be more forward-looking. You like that? You like that term, forward? Forward-looking. No, we're not, okay? So, again, it's a very vulnerable time. Now, again, Lord willing, when I step aside, I'll have been here for 43 years. Lord willing, Pastor Dameron will be here. I have a goal, I won't be here to see it, but of 32 years. Wouldn't it be nice to reach the 75th anniversary of the church and only have 2 pastors? Now, I'll tell you, that's where strength comes from, consistent leadership over a long period of time. But what's the... what's the qualification? We know these. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 6, it says, if any be blameless. Now, what does it mean to be blameless? Perfect? Well, I'd be disqualified, and so would you. There's not a human being that's perfect. What the word blameless there means is without a handle. Okay? Is there anybody here that's never lied in your life? Let me call you a liar. Put your hand up. Okay, everybody has lied, but you're disqualified from being a pastor if somebody can say he's a liar. You understand the difference? If a person is known as a liar, he's not going to be a success as a pastor. So that's what it means by blameless. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, that means he's not a polygamist. It also means he hasn't been divorced. And I'm not going to take all the time to go into that, but that disqualifies him, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, again, having faithful children, not accused of riot and unruly, does that mean perfect children? People can be awful critical and awful mean about things like that. I've always been pretty liberal. Now, I've never been called liberal, but I've always thought of myself as pretty liberal about these things. You know, kids can have problems. All kids will have problems. But if they go to the devil, then the pastor is disqualified. Now, I'm going to stop here. You'll see as we talk about these things that more space is taken up on this idea of his family than any other thing. And in days gone by, when I was a young pastor or even a middle-aged pastor, if a man would have his kids go to the devil, he's disqualified. That's just the way it was, okay? But now things have changed. Now people say it can't be done. Now it says, well, we love you, Pastor. We want you to stay. That can't be true. And I've had good friends, very good friends, close friends, have that happen, and they stay. And you know what happens? The church is destroyed. Because what is shown by that is they don't believe the Bible. And what's shown by that is if he can't do it, then I can't do it. You know that? I wasn't looking in your faces as family saying last week, but for years as the family saying, I would look in your faces and you'd enjoy it. And it's not that they can sing that good. Don't tell them I said that. But it's not that they're that good as singers, but I could see it in your faces. It was encouragement to you. There's the preacher's family and their mates, and here they're standing singing for the Lord. And it's not just that they're singing, it didn't mean anything, but they're living for the Lord. And that means so much, okay, whether you know it or not. It means so much because it's an encouragement. And I say again, what some pastors say is, well, if they hit 18, and if they go bad after, doesn't that make sense? Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, now I know I'm a broken record there, but it doesn't say 18. 18, and that's kind of the thing people like to say now, this 18 thing just means, well, you can just hold them in your home and cover things up. When they turn 18, they go to the devil, get in drugs, get somebody pregnant, and all the rest of that. But it's not my business anymore. It is to your business. I don't care if you're a pastor or who you are. You didn't raise him right. It's just as simple as that. You say that's unloving. That's the Bible. Okay? So, again, don't let that... Well, we love you, preacher. No, I've said it for years. Run me out on a rail. Tar and feather me. I haven't said it recently, but the old-timers can remember me saying it. And that was more for me than for you. This is what the Bible says, and this is the standard we're going to have. And if you're going to have a church that's worth something, you're going to go by the standards. Now, if your kid goes bad, am I going to care less for you? No. I'll love you. I'm not going to dislike you. No. Okay. But if my kid goes bad, are you going to think less of... By that, I mean, you're going to hate me for it? No, you're going to love me, but I'm disqualified. So just remember that. And you young people, you get into churches, just remember that. I think I was using this idea with my CE class of a guy that, most famous preacher alive, wrote a book on this and said he's disqualified if the son goes bad. But when the son went horribly bad, he just changed his book. And everybody goes on, you know. It's horrible. So, again, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not bullheaded, not soon angry. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a temper, but he's not blowing his stack, not given to wine, no striker. You notice that idea. I believe I didn't study it for tonight, but through studying it, it just means, you know, you don't just get mad and punch people out. That's what it means. Now, I've said over and over again, I have a temper. But I think some people think, well, you know, they apply it to themselves. You know, you got a temper, so you beat your wife. No, I'd be disqualified from the ministry if I beat my wife. It's as simple as that. You're not a striker. It doesn't mean you won't. Some thief comes in and he's going to shoot your wife that you don't beat on him. Just horse sense, okay? You're not a striker. And again, not given to filthy lucre. Something that I've thought through 50 years ago. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't think a pastor ought to be rich unless some way his parents were rich and he got it in the will or something like that. I don't see how a pastor gets rich any more than a politician gets rich. Amen. I could never figure out how these politicians walk into office poor and walk out multimillionaires. I don't think a pastor should be rich. The pastor should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And a layman's the same way. There's nothing wrong with a layman. Now, a layman's working. It's a little different thing. He might be really good at it and make all kinds of money. Nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong to be covetous, okay? And it's certainly wrong for a pastor to be covetous. But the lover of hospitality, again, we were talking about that in my CE class. That's a qualification. I think a pastor ought to love to be a blessing to people, okay? And a lover of good men. I think the idea there, too, is even with other pastors, I love to represent you as a church and be a blessing to pastors. Sober, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, turn to 1 Timothy, just back a couple pages. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Just about the same thing, saying over and over again. He was talking to a young preacher, Titus. Here he's talking to another young pastor, Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, pastor, it's interchangeable. He desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant or alert, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, apt to pastor, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. There's that idea again. you hear of churches and deacons' meetings having brawls. God can't bless that. Not a brawler, not covetous. Kind of the same thing. And then notice again that the space that's taken. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? That is horse sense, isn't it? If a pastor can't take care of five people in the home, how can he take care of 500 people in the church? He can't. Not a novice, again, not a young Christian, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So the calling of the pastor, pulpit committee, is made up of the deacons and the administrative staff. Here the administrative staff, I call it pastoral staff. That's Dr. Vogelin, Pastor Dameron, Mr. Armacost, and myself. That's the administrative staff. Made up of the deacons, administrative staff, to seek out and recommend a candidate for the office of pastor. They shall procure pulpit fill while the church is without a pastor. Now, what I've instructed, it's all taken care of now, but through the years, what I'd instruct the deacons is, at this stage of the church history, if we're without a pastor, never go outside the church with pulpit fill, because they will try and influence your thinking. You just want in-house people preaching. The chairman, if you remember, we only have a chairman of the deacons at this time. It's the only time we have a chairman. It's needed at that time. The chairman of the deacons shall moderate until a new pastor is voted in. Now, why not staff? This is a kind of a delicate thing, and you want to understand it. But the church is the people's, not the staff's. This church is not mine. Now, God has called me to lead this church, but this church is not mine. It's yours, okay? And so, again, that's why you have a chairman, a layman that's in charge of it. Now, at the same time, it's not the deacons either. It's amazing. I know of churches, we're just talking about one today, a friend of mine that died years ago, and they still don't have a pastor. Now, what's wrong with that? The deacons think that they own the church and they are enjoying running the church. That's what's wrong with it. And, you know, you don't want to rush into a new pastor, but at the same time, after about 14 years, you ought to be able to have one. There's the chairman of the deacons actually runs things, but they ought to look to the staff because of their real biblical knowledge and the rest of that. So, you know, again, when we did that, we made one mistake, but I think that the transition, and the transition is very, you know, close now, maybe, I don't know what it is now, about 8 months, it's gone as smooth as it could go, and I think it's going to continue going smoothly. You want to really pray for Pastor Dammer. He will be attacked by the devil. He's a strong guy. He's had a lot of experience as a youth pastor for 20 years. I think that's probably as good of experience as you can have as a pastor, and then or for a future pastor, and then handling the finances. It's tremendous experience there. But he has no idea of the battles ahead. And you pray for him and pray. He's a strong man. Pray for him that he'll have more strength. Then D, a pastor may be called by a three-quarter majority vote at any regular called business meeting when the announcement of a meeting for this purpose has been made in a previous Sunday morning service. So, you know, what it's saying is if there's going to be a vote on the church, I mean on the pastor, all it has to do is just have a, you know, all we have to do is just say, okay, next week the vote's coming in. Now, we used to have all kinds of restrictions and hoops to jump through for making votes, and then we came to the conclusion, people that don't attend church, we don't care if they're here to vote or not. It's just like the election for the nation. If they don't care to vote, I think one of the biggest mistakes that our nation has made recently is making it so easy to vote, and so people that really don't even know what's going on vote. And I'm not saying we make it hard to vote in the church, but if somebody doesn't want to be here, tough. We're going to vote. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. E, the church shall not call a pastoral candidate until they've heard him preach for three services in one Sunday. Now, the Constitution used to say three separate service Sundays. If a guy is a pastor of another church and you have him preach here three separate Sundays, what do you think happens to his church back home? And then we say no. It's the end of it. So again, we don't want to be dumb about it. Just one Sunday, three services. The candidate must be voted on by the church before a second candidate is called. You don't want to have a beauty contest. You understand what I mean of this? You know, you say, okay, we got Pastor A and Pastor B, let's vote. You're heading for trouble because there's going to be, I don't care how dumb Pastor A is and how bad he is, somebody's going to think he's the greatest guy on earth, and if Pastor B gets in, then you got a split in the church. So you don't do that. You vote on one man at a time, just like we did. And again, this is over with for now, but advice for you young people in the college and so forth, spare no time, no expense in investigating the man that you're going to vote on. Okay? We thought we were calling a guy to be our pastor we know inside and out. Remember in the first place? And we were wrong. So you can imagine just that you heard about some guy in Ohio that's a good guy. It's really hard to know a person. After that boo-boo, that's when the deacon said, we want a pastor from within our ranks. Because it's the only way we halfway know him. Okay? So again, if you're talking in the future, you know, some of you people, you're at a church and you need to find a pastor, like I say, don't spare a dime and don't spare an hour. Fly out there, grill them, talk to people. It's the most important thing that'll ever happen in the church. So do it right. Again, we just went through this, but you're not looking for a good preacher. You don't have one now. You don't need one in the future, okay? You're not looking for a good preacher. You're not looking for a good personality. That's what most people look for, those two things. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that's spiritual and strong, okay? You're looking for those two things. If a guy's going to lead a church, he's got to be strong and he's got to be spiritual. The duties of the pastor. The pastor shall assume the oversight of the church life. The pastor shall have both responsibility and authority to make certain that the doctrine, sermons, and messages are consistent with the doctrinal statement as written in Article 3. Now, this Constitution, now it's been changed all over the place, but when I came here, there was a Constitution. There wasn't a church, but there's a Constitution. There was a guy that had gone to Moody that had been divorced, etc., had no qualification to do anything. And then there is a Brown University man that I won't go into it. These people had more problems than all of you put together, and they had written a Constitution. So when I said yes, there's certain things that have to change, but through the years we've changed a lot. One of the things that they had was that the pastor would have the responsibility to make certain the doctrine, blah, 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 but not the authority. And that's how most churches are. They want to say, this is your responsibility, but they don't want to give them the authority. If a guy has the responsibility, he has to have the authority. And so that's what, you know, and it's kind of a balance. People could say, well, you know, you're a dictator. No, you're called, God called pastor. And big difference between that and a dictator. He may call the deacons or the church together for special meetings to transact the business of the church. The pastor shall be notified in advance of all meetings. He shall moderate the meetings of the church. Again, so many of you are saved here. This is the only church you know. You don't know problems of churches. But unbelievable. The deacons will call a meeting and vote the pastor out. I mean, I know a friend of mine was just voted out. They just called a meeting and didn't consult the people, just voted them out. Now, again, that should never be. Things should be done decently and in order. The pastor shall continue in office until he resigns, is dismissed, or called to be with the Lord. The pastor may be dismissed by 2/3 majority. Now, let me point out, it takes 3/4 majority to be elected and only 2/3 majority to get rid of him. And I did that. I wanted it easier to get rid of me than to vote me in. If 2/3 of the people don't want the pastor, then he should leave. The said announcement is to have been made in 2 consecutive regular Sunday morning services. Now, what should a pastor be booted out for? Of course, immorality. And again, it's so sad that independent Baptist churches now, a guy will be totally immoral. and confess to it. And people will say, we love you. You're our pastor, and you'll stay in. That's what's wrong with our churches today. False doctrine. People change their doctrines. The church I was saved in just decided to go Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist Church, for at least 65 years. And a guy took it, and first it was the music, as it always is, etc. Then they decided to go Southern Baptist. Now, what I'm saying is, if a pastor starts trying to move this church away from not your pet belief, but the beliefs of this church, he needs to get booted out. And that might sound rough, but as something for at least 20 years, I pounded on it. Now, don't just kick me out, tar and feather me, run me out on a rail. And I would pound on it because I wanted to be accountable. And like I said before, I was preaching to myself as much as anybody. Any pastor so dismissed shall be entitled to and shall receive 1 month's salary and other benefits from the time of termination of his services, which shall be effective at the end of the business meeting. You know, I think it's interesting. I'm smiling because a church out in Pennsylvania that I use as an illustration that voted the pastor out shortly after I got there, they were paying him for a month, so they had him preach for a month. Now, can you imagine what I would preach if you voted me out? I would skin you alive. Worse. Don't have him vote. I mean, don't have him preach. Give him his month's salary and be nice to him and pack his truck and let him go. Okay, qualifications of deacons. Just about the same thing. Turn back to Acts chapter 6. This is the first deacons, the record of the first deacons. Acts chapter 6, the first four verses, you see that a deacon was brought into being to be a helper, not the balance. I've heard people say, well, it's like the Congress and a president. It's a balance of power. No, it's not. The deacon is to be a helper. He's a leader, yes. And if something went bad with the pastor, they would lead in what needed to be done. But it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, the leaders, the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It doesn't make sense for us to leave our leadership position in the leading in the preaching and so forth and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's very clear. That's where the deacons came into being. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We're going to concentrate on that. The deacons are going to take care of the tables and so forth. Then turn to 1 Timothy 3:8. Just about the same as the pastor. Likewise, must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not a liar, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. You notice it's just about the same. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also be first proved, mature. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. You notice the qualifications of the wife. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Now, in our Constitution, it says deacons must have an exemplary Christian testimony and conscientiously strive to live a Christian life so as not to be a stumbling block. I have a belief that our church, that if the pastor and pastoral staff and the deacons live their life the way they ought to, they lead by example, that's the way the church will move forward. Okay, and then if the bus captains do the same thing, and to us, we have qualifications for the choir. Okay, we believe, for instance, that a woman should wear a dress and not wear pants. In order to be in our choir, you have to live that. Now, people say, oh, come on, you can't be, you know, my preacher friends now, they say, well, I believe it and I practice it, but who am I to tell the people? I want to stop for a second. Who am I to tell you how you ought to live? Somebody want to explain that? Some theologian? What? Oh, you're a preacher, yeah. Well, that's it. What is a pastor? Now, I've said this over and over again. You've heard me, but I'll repeat it. There's only one thing that I do that you shouldn't do. I should be a soul winner. You should be a soul winner. And we can go down the line. Just go down the line. But a pastor is a leader. Okay, that's the only thing that I need to be. That's what I am. You understand? That's what a pastor is. He's a leader. Now, a leader needs to say, you're wrong if you don't dress modestly. Okay? And so I think that's such a phony, baloney excuse when a pastor says, my family and I believe this, but we're not going to tell others. What he is a chicken, okay? He's afraid he's going to lose some money or something like that. The job of a pastor is to lead, okay? So, again, deacons are to have an exemplary Christian testimony and conscientiously strive to live a Christian life so as not to be a stumbling block. He must be a soul winner. And then in parentheses, active in the church visitation program. Okay, see, it puts it in a practical light. We say, well, you have to have one soul a month. That's what some churches do. No, just active in the soul winning program of the church, separated in accordance to the stand of the church. Again, it's the same thing. Separated, what do we preach? Be faithful, not looking for ways to miss church. Got a wedding this week, got a graduation next week, you know, a funeral the next week, and loyal. Again, not yes men, but how would you put it? Our deacons, I encourage them to speak up. For instance, when we were discussing having a pastor, I encourage them, speak up. Who do you think? What do you think? Why? What's good? What's bad? What? Speak up. But when we leave the room, we're all in accordance. I don't think you would have heard anybody make a complaint. Then quickly, my time's up, but as far as the election of deacons, the nomination is posted once a year before in the fall before the elections. If you put a name on there, be serious. I'm not one that believes we should have all kinds of deacons. Well, we need another deacon. One went off, we need another deacon. No. We need, same thing as I said about pastors, strong men, and spiritual men. You say, well, he's a pretty good guy, and he's my friend, and I kind of like him. I'm going to put him on there. You better be serious. You better pray about it and pray about it strongly, because his name's going to go before the deacons, and then I'm going to talk to him personally, very bluntly, and then it'll be brought before the church. But it's a very serious thing, and you get the wrong person, and we have had that happen, a wrong person get, you know, into the deacons, and they're shocked. It hurts them, okay? It hurts them. Not that there's anything deceiving going on, but they know the inner workings, and by that I mean they know more about you. And they know the imperfections and so forth, and a lot of people can't take that. Duties of the deacons, it shall be the duty of the deacons to meet quarterly, since business, I won't go all into it. It shall be the duty to assist the pastor and visit the sick, seek out those who need material assistance, giving preference to the brethren, and lead in the laboring. Again, lead in the, a deacon shouldn't be a deacon if he's not here for work night, is what that's saying. Okay, I'm going to stop. Again, the next thing is trustees, and their elected deacons shall sign legal papers and act only under orders of the church as a legal trustee. And I just want to say again that we don't do anything you don't know about. It's just streamlines things. And we don't talk about the color of the pews either. Not the deacons don't. The ladies get together and talk. You say, I want to know, I don't like the color of those pews. Tough. You know, it's just, we don't make a big deal out of it. And how many remember the beautiful carpet we had in the auditorium before? People always said it looked like vomit. You know who picked that out? Me. I just thought that if somebody did vomit on it, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And it did last, didn't it? All life of the building. What was it? 20, 25 years. So it was a good carpet. But we don't make a big deal out of that type of thing. We get people that are that know what they're doing about certain things, and they do it. Get a good man, do it. Yes.
I have a question about the deacons when we're voting for the deacons.
Yes. Yes. Yes, if yes, yes.
So we're voting, you say there's only two of them, you build it out, and you don't have to vote for the third one,
the third was still one. If he gets the right number of votes.
And what's the right number of votes?
You know, I'm not sure, but I think it's only 50%.
50% of the church
that no, of those that vote. I believe that's what it is. But I don't hold me to that. But yeah, that's why I always try and say, you know, if you don't know the people, don't vote, because you know you might cause the best guy in the church not to become a deacon, you know, if enough people did it. But I don't believe in beauty contests, whether it's a church or whether it's the pastor or whether it's the deacons. A person should not be nominated. He shouldn't be on that ballot unless he's qualified. But I do believe, of course, in your right to vote him down. So you really you're more voting him down than anything else. Any other questions? We're on it. Okay.